All right, thank you. I tell you, we'll hear a lot of Christmas music. We've already moved into it on the radio and so forth, but you think about the great theme she was just singing about, the great God himself became our Savior, and that's the best of the Christmas music will be telling that story over and over and over, and truth is, that should never get old to us. What a great theme. Tonight we have a special privilege. We have Joe and Lee Pasola visiting back with us. They may be the ones brought the cool day today, because they came from a place that's a lot colder, out in Idaho. And how many of you, raise your hand if you remember Joe and Lee. Would you raise your hand? All right, y'all look around. There's quite a few hands. Now, I told Brother Joe, I said, a lot of folks are gone. A lot of them going on to heaven. We have new folks, too. They've been gone. Maybe he'll tell us, 12, 14 years, somewhere in that period of time. And Joe came here originally to go to college and did. And then we just held him on for a long time. And he was here during some of the great events that happened at Landmark through the years. If you look at the building we're in right now, if you didn't know it, it used to not be this wide. And if you look right here, this is where we added on the sides, on both sides. And Brother Pasola was here helping me engineer that and get the job done. And we put in some kind of hours on doing that. But we didn't have enough to do, so we took on the hotel about the same time. So we were restoring it and widening out the building. And by the grace of God, I think we only missed one service in the auditorium. We actually had plastic sides hanging up here, Bisqueen hanging up here. And as some of you might not know it, but we actually built over the other church, built the whole roof over and came down and widened out the sides. And just the town was wondering what in the world was going on out here. But Brother Pasola was our right hand during those times. But not only doing construction work and the hotel and the camp and all the stuff that we were involved in, but Brother Pasola was always involved in the spiritual work and soul winning and getting the job done spiritually. And many of you remember that. Remember he and Lee being with us. And Brother Oswardy, they lived in that house you're in right there quite a while. And I think they got the ghost out. There was a ghost in there, and I think they got it out before you got in, but I'm not sure. But anyway, we have him tonight. I want him to come on and speak to us, tell us a little bit about what they've been doing or whatever God lays on his heart. It's so good to see him. We were able to pick him up at the airport, I guess it was yesterday, and get him on in here. And Brother Pasola, just feel at home. You got friends out there and maybe a couple of enemies. I don't know. But just come on, what God's laid on your heart, share it with
Amen.
Us.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. First of all, I'll just say this. Every event at Landmark Baptist Church is a great event, preacher. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. Every single work around here is a great work. This is a great work. God has blessed it. I'm so glad to be here. Such a privilege to be back, see some friends, see a lot of new faces, see the work being carried on. I see Mrs. Gotch was still playing. What a blessing. And then seeing some new ones come up to the plate. I was just up with the teens with Brother Colin Morton, and what a blessing to see one of the youth get up and take in charge. I mean, I was so excited when I went up there. Brother, where is he? Where did he go? He's hiding on me. There he is. I just got a charge out of that the teens were going out soul winning today. And we were doing that years ago, and the work's being carried on. What a blessing. I just couldn't get enough of that. It was just such a blessing. Preacher asked me to give a testimony. I'm going to do something a little different. I hope you don't mind, preacher. It is a testimony. But I'm going to give you a different kind of a testimony tonight, and I'm going to mingle in some preaching with that. I hope you don't mind that. If you open your Bibles to the book of Genesis chapter 14, And we're going to begin reading in verse 14. I'll give you the background just real briefly. When God called Abraham out of the land of the Chaldees, Lot chose to go with him. You remember the story. And as they both grew in number, their families and their substance, it became necessary for them to part ways and to separate, for the land couldn't handle them. And Lot chose the well-watered plains of the Jordan, and Abraham dwelt in Canaan. You remember that story. Well, here where we're reading, Lot is now in Sodom, and he finds himself in the middle of conflict, of a conflict with the surrounding nations. And as a result of that, Lot is taken captive. And what we're about to read is Abraham coming to the rescue, coming to his rescue, and getting him out of there. And I want you to see this story as a sort of a kickoff to the testimony I'm about to give. In verse 14 of Genesis chapter 14, it says, "And when Abraham heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born of his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, and he and his servants, by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left side of Damascus. That's just real close to where we're from in Idaho. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of that place, and of the kings that were with him, and the valley of Sheva, which is in the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed, blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all." Now look at that last line with me again. And he, Abraham, or Abram, I'm going to call him Abraham from here on because that's how I like to say it. And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. Let's go to Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we just ask you, Lord, to take hold of your word and to bless it, Father. There's nothing about any man standing here that means anything but only your word, Father. And we want Jesus Christ to have the preeminence. We ask your word to be a blessing upon the ears and the hearts of those who hear it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. I know you just went through the missions conference and you might not want to hear about giving, but I'm just going to give you this testimony. God laid this on my heart. It's something I was just reading. I was just studying recently the book of Malachi, and we're going to be going there. And I want to begin by the testimony. I'm going to give you a testimony of the tithing and the offerings of my own life. And then I'm going to give you a motivation, and then I'm going to give you a challenge. In 1983, when shortly after I was saved, newborn Christian, my pastor was Pastor Ken Jones. He was a fiery preacher, as I remember it. He had some hobby horses that he rode. He wasn't a very good teacher, but he was a great preacher. And I remember that. I loved him. I wouldn't choose him right now because I need someone to teach me some substance, but he was a great preacher. And in that time of my life, I needed him. I was a new Christian, and he could preach some fiery messages, couldn't he, dear? You remember that? In those early years of my life, I remember that preaching well. He would preach a lot on tithing, but he never really taught what it was, and I didn't have a clue. First time I heard the word tithing, I didn't know what he was talking about. But after a while, because he said it enough, and because he associated it with money, every once in a while, he'd pull his wallet out and flash it and say, talk about tithing and putting money in the plate. Well, I begin to put two and two together that tithing had something to do with giving. And so I started to tithe. I put $5 a week in the offering plate. And to me, that was something. I really thought I was doing something. And I believe in God's eyes, I was tithing, but I really wasn't. And it wasn't until three years later, in 1985, we moved from Mountain Home, Idaho to California, and I found a little church in Jackson, California, and a very humble, quiet pastor named Mark Goosen. Mark was not a fiery preacher, not by any means. He was very quiet and very reserved, but he was a good teacher. And when the day I learned about tithing, he taught on the subject of tithing. From that day forward, I began to tithe. I understood what it was, that the tithe was 1/10 of my income, of my possessions, and I began to tithe from that point, and I never stopped. And God brought me through some tough times right away. At those times, I was attempting to be an entrepreneur, trying to work on my own and start a business, but I failed miserably. And we went through a period of time where I was working for a subcontractor, siding houses, and I worked for him for a while, and I was driving from El Dorado, California, down to Sacramento, about a 40-mile drive, one way, and heavy traffic there and back. Did that for a few months, only not to get paid. And the man took me to the cleaners. And we didn't have it. I borrowed money to get there, to gas, and all of a sudden I didn't get paid. We didn't have nothing. But every little thing that I got, I tithe. And I remember during that period, someone gave me $50, and I put $5 in the plate. I tithe. I was determined that I was going to be obedient to what I learned in tithes. And then in 1987, we moved back to Mountain Home, Idaho, and my pastor then was Pastor Clinton Keaton. And he took me through the first missions conference where we learned with faith, what Faith Promised Missions was all about. And boy, I just entered into that. I entered into Faith Promised Missions. I was excited about it. And we have been giving ever since. In my life, I have deprived my family, my wife, my children of things to make sure we were giving. We were always giving. And maybe compared to some, it might not have been a lot. But to us, it was a lot. And we just gave and gave and gave. And God's been good. And now I'm a millionaire. No. No, I'm not. And you know, I'd like to be able to tell you that story. And maybe it's for some it works that way, but for most it does not.
Right.
You're not going to be a millionaire. This is not the prosperity gospel.
Right.
Do you know what's wrong with the prosperity gospel, by the way? In the prosperity gospel, I become the central figure.
Yeah.
I'm the beneficiary. Not the Lord's work, not the Lord, not others, me. I'm the beneficiary in the prosperity gospel. I claim the preeminence in the prosperity gospel. I throw the prosperity gospel in the trash. For the most part, most of us that are givers are probably not going to be wealthy. Nothing's wrong with wealth. I didn't say that. What's wrong is the pursuit of wealth. When that's all that's in your heart is to pursue wealth, the love of money, the pursuit of that, that's what's evil. There's nothing evil about being wealthy. Thank God for the wealthy people that have helped in the ministry in a great way. Praise God. And I hope for more of those.
Yes.
But God's work is built on all of us.
Right.
Not just three of us.
Right.
But all of us.
Amen.
In giving. I want to give you a biblical motivation for tithing. And I want you to turn to the book of Malachi. I probably will show some of you a different angle of tithing than you might have considered before. We're going to start in a traditional place, the book of Malachi, last book in the Bible. And I didn't mark anything here. Okay. Malachi in chapter 3, and look at verse 8. And what I'm going to show you, this is the truth, all right? There's nothing wrong with preaching in this way. In Matthew, in Malachi chapter 3, in verse number 8, and I was in Matthew. Okay, there I am. It says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings." In tithes and offerings. What was happening to Israel at this time is that they were keeping the tithes and the offerings. They were withholding it. They were keeping it for themselves. And in doing so, they robbed God. It's clear in the book of Leviticus for the Jew in chapter 27, in verse 30, it says, "And all the tithe of the land is the Lord's, and the tithe belongs to the Lord." And no matter what we say, the tithe of this earth is the Lord's. That law holds, by the way. The tithe is the Lord's. The tithe of everything we possess, it belongs to the Lord. And in essence, we are robbing God, we are stealing from God when we keep back the tithe. But there's something else I want you to see. Because I think there's something deeper than that to us as New Testament Christians that needs to be seen, and it has to do with Melchizedek, as we'll see. Look in Malachi chapter 1. We said they kept back the tithes to themselves, but also they offered a polluted offering. Look at verse 6 in chapter 1. It says, "As a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master, if then I be a father, where is mine honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. If ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee, or accept the person, thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" Let's just bring it down to earth for a minute. Let's imagine, and I know this is not possible, but let's imagine that the Lord was here, and you invited the Lord himself to your house for dinner. And he comes into your house, and you seat him on the couch, and you go into the refrigerator, and you get out a cold pizza, and you get out a paper plate, and you shove it in the microwave, and you throw it on the coffee table, and say, "Here's dinner, Lord." That's what they were doing. They offered a polluted sacrifice unto the Lord. They offered leftovers to the Lord. And that's wicked. That is evil, to offer the Lord what's second best, what's not your best, what's not your first fruits. The reason they offered a polluted offering, the reason they kept the tithe to themselves, is that they first questioned the love of God. And this is where I want you to put your antennas up. Before they offered polluted offerings, before they kept back the tithe, they questioned the love of God. Look at chapter 1, verse 1. "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob." Where did you love us, Lord? How dare you say you loved us? They didn't see the love of God. They couldn't understand the presence of God and the love of God because they were so stuck in there and rooted in their law. They had no love of God left in themselves. And they kept back the tithe. And they offered the polluted offering because they questioned the love of God. When we begin to question God's love, we lose our motivation to give. When we question the love of God, we lose our motivation to serve. When we question the love of God, we lose our motivation even to be in church. That's why a lot of Christians drift away. They decide that God doesn't love them anymore, that God doesn't care anymore, that God's not interested anymore. They're questioning the love of God. How dare we ever question the love of God in our life? And believe me, I'm speaking to myself. Any preacher could tell you this. When you get here, the Spirit of God is taking over part of the message. And inside, sometimes the guilt is welling up within us also. We all are guilty sometimes of doubting the love of God, of questioning the love of God, but God does love us. God always loves us. God never stops loving us and never will stop loving us. Dare we question the love of God? And because they question the love of God, they fail to give the tithe according to the law. Let me ask you this. What we just read in the book of Genesis. Did Abraham tithe to Melchizedek according to the law? No. Abraham tithed before the law. In Malachi, the Jews failed to tithe according to the law. Then Malachi gives us a peek of tithing after the law. Look at verse 10 of chapter 1. It says, "Who is there even among you that would shut the doors for naught? Neither do ye kindle fire on mine altar for naught. I have no pleasure in you, saith the Lord of hosts. Neither will I accept an offering at your hand." To those who were giving the polluted offering. But now look at the next verse. "For from the rising of the sun, even to the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the Gentiles." That's future. That wasn't present. "My name shall be great among the Gentiles, and in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering. For not my name shall be great among the heathen." That's us. What? Saith the Lord of hosts. God says one day there's going to be a pure offering. It's going to happen again. It happened with Abraham, and it's going to happen again in the future with the Gentiles. I will not accept your polluted offering anymore. I want you to look at this with me, this account of Abraham's tithing to Melchizedek in the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Hebrews, chapter 6. And I'm watching the clock. One thing I learned from preacher, well, one of many things I learned from preacher is to start on time and to end on time. And I think that's important. I really do. Maybe it's not important in places where people might not have jobs or something and they have nothing else to do. But we have something to do sometimes. And one of those things is serving the Lord. And I know that you got choir practice and we're going to end here. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 with me, beginning in verse 13. And I'm going to read fast because I want to read a lot of it. It says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel." That means his counsel is unchanging. It's a fixed contract. "The immutability of his counsel confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, praise God, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this, chapter 1, verse 7, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now, no doubt Melchizedek is a mystery in the Bible. Yes. But I can't help but see Jesus Christ in him. And if you can't see that, you're not reading the Bible. And I don't understand the mystery completely. I'm not going to claim to. But there's a direct correlation to our Savior, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. Let me read that again. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. May I say this? What you have here is worship. Abraham worshiped Melchizedek. I just imagine it like this. I am the less, thou art the greater, and he gave the tithe of all that he had. Abraham worshiped Melchizedek. Verse 5, and it says, and verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take the tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they came out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them, not from the law, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promise. Paul is spelling this out for us, that the tithe was not originally of the law. And we have lost the spirit of the tithe and of offerings if we think it's only a law that I have to give. Yeah. It's true, if you keep the tithe, you steal from God. But that's not what God wants from you. God wants the spirit of the law in your heart. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. Look at verse 15. It is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of the carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, thou, Jesus Christ, are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So then, we as New Testament Christians should tithe, not according to the law, but as did Abraham before the law. The less giving to the greater, a form of worship, a form of love, of devotion. Our tithes and our offerings are the proof of our love. They are the truest form of worship and devotion to our Lord Jesus Christ that can be that is possible. Hey, do we not give to those we love? Are you at Christmas time? Are you giving to those you hate? No, you're giving to those you love. Do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? You prove that. You're proving that. But can we prove it a little more? How much do you love God? How much do you love His church? How much do you love His work? Do you know the work of God does not end? Reaching that goal didn't bring the work of God to an end. there's always so much more. And we should always want more. We shouldn't be looking for an end. Say, oh, Lord, I'm looking for this time when everything's given and everything's built and everything's settled and I can sit and relax and reap the harvest myself. No. No, that time is at the judgment seat of Christ. That time is ahead of us in glory. And you will not be ashamed, and you will not regret giving one penny to the Lord, and you will not regret giving 10 million to the Lord. Amen. Not one of us will regret it. It's our love and our devotion to the Lord. I want you to see tithing not as a law, but as love, as worship, as the proof of your love to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love God enough to offer a pure offering, to go beyond the tenth in faith, promise, and in other givings? And what about even possibly reaching that goal?
Yes.
The miracle is in our hearts. It's right there, in us collectively. You do the math. You do the math. If every one of us is giving just a decent portion every month, You can make that thermostat go through the roof if you want. Every one of us could. Now when I look at my faith promise missions, it's not just dollars amount. My wife's always, I'm looking, how many missionaries can I support? That's my goals now. How many missionaries can I support each month? You know how much each missionary gets. How many can I support? Why not? Our greatest investment is eternity. The more I live, the longer I live, the more I realize, okay, this isn't going to last very long. The fool doesn't invest in tomorrow. As Christians, the fool does not invest in eternity. Brother, I want you to go back to the song, Take My Life and Let It Be. And I want to make sure we sing the third verse, which says, take my lips and let them be filled with messages for thee. Take my silver and my gold. Not a mite will I withhold. That's my story. I don't mind being poor because the Lord's always taking care of me. The more I give, the more he takes care of me. What do I need the silver and gold for? I watch this. You see on TV these commercials and on the radio I hear it. They're invest in gold. I mean, and I'm thinking, for what? Are you going to eat gold? When the stock market crashes, are you going to go to the grocery store and give them a gold coin for a loaf of bread? What's that? Now God will take care of us. And when the time comes, when God says, I've taken care of you enough, guess what? We're going home. We're going home to glory. And God is going to, he's going to reward every one of us for all the worship, for all the giving, for all the work, for all the things you've done. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. I want you to ask yourself that question. What are you doing for Jesus Christ? What are you giving? Where's your worship? Where's your love? Have you questioned the love of God? Come on up, brother, and get this going with some song, and I'll let the preacher come up to the pulpit and take it from here. Preacher?
Let's bow our heads. Boy, we have had a good Bible teaching. It's not just to fulfill the law. It's not just duty. It's how much we really love God. And it's an instrument by which we can measure that love and show God we love him. Amen. What a good message for us. We just had our faith mission conference. We're short on our goal. We got a few weeks to make it. Probably just in this room tonight, if enough people said, Lord, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, amen, that'd make a big difference. I've asked you to do this before. I'm going to ask you to do it again. I've asked you to pray extra that we could reach the goal this year for missions. Brother Pasola just told us it's not how much he gives. personally, how many missionaries can I help out? Father, may you add your blessing to a great scriptural message for us tonight. In Jesus' name. Brother Bert, would you lead us in a song? Let's just come to the altar and pray for the goal again. We can take a couple of minutes of time here and do this.
Take my life.